4-minute podcast with me. If that does not sound fun, I won't include you, and I'll go do this on myself in the studio. No.
Call at 12:45. So I'm going to use this opportunity to remove my nail polish and file my nails. So if you can do it with me while I'm doing that, I accept.
Okay. I want to throw this idea by you and tell me if this is obnoxious, if I'm reaching for things, or if it's interesting. I need real-time bounce back on this idea. I think I'm finally comfortable saying that Joe versus the Volcano is one of my favorite movies. Like top five.
So funny to me.
Why?
I mean, I get why you like it because I know you and because there's something about it, but it's also such a random ass reference for a movie that is like fairly not well reviewed.
It really is just barely over over certified rotten on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it has like 60-something% by critics and 50-something% by viewers or whatever it is. Oh, right. By normies, by muggles. But yes, okay. So maybe the pacing's wrong. Maybe Meg Ryan's accents on two of her three characters are totally overdone, and I think change multiple times during her performance of the same character. But I think the movie is brilliant because the whole thing is an allegory for life. And I was thinking about today, and I was thinking about one of my favorite, I was thinking about the, I have multiple favorite quotes from it, but one of my favorite concepts from it. And I think the overarching, one of the overarching concepts of the entire movie is the belief that what you like or what you want is the same question as who am I?
Clothes?
What kind of clothes? What's your taste?
Well, I don't exactly know. Why are you stopping the car?
They just hired me to drive the car, sir. I'm not here to tell you who you are.
I didn't ask you to tell me who I am.
You're hinting around about clothes. That happens to be a very important topic to me, sir. Clothes, Mr.
Banks.
Banks. Clothes makes the man. I believe that. You say to me you want to go shopping, want to buy clothes, but you don't know what kind. You leave that hanging in the air like I'm going to fill in the blanks. Now, that to me is like asking me who you are, and I don't know who you are. I don't want to know. It's taken me all my life to find out who I am, and I am tired now. You hear what I'm saying?
And I think as someone creating things and putting them out into the world, whether that's musically or any medium I have, along with other people, that I think that is oftentimes why it is people feel so tied artistically to the thing they're sharing with the world. And if it does well, if people not liking the thing you made, a lot of times it's a direct correlation of them, that means they don't like you.
Right.
And it puts so much freaking weight on me. I mean, whether it's like, okay, doing this podcast, if someone, I mean, this is even closer to home. If someone doesn't like this podcast, which is just me sharing my thoughts about life, it's directly me feeling, oh, people, they don't like me,
right,
as a person. And it's really hard for me not to feel like when I that's why I've stopped looking at metrics, because I feel like when I look at it in an episode that I feel really close to doesn't get traction or as many listens, right, as I thought it would or hoped, it's hard for me not to subconsciously place that worth on myself. I mean, fill in the freaking blank with whether it's a slow time in my career musically or sharing photographs with the world, all these things. It's like this connection. I feel like that's not a new thing. This isn't like a new statement.
Yes, I've talked about this concept with, I'll say artists, but anyone who makes something, your identity is so wrapped up in that in a different way than others.
Yeah. And
perhaps, I mean, an evolved human would be able to set that aside and
create what they want to create for their own self or the joy of creating or because they feel compelled to. But that would take a very evolved human to really set that down or untangle the two.
Do you have like advice if someone's coming up to you and saying, I would like to become an evolved human? Because I feel like you are that person that's very, I see, and you have nowhere near the self-doubt and self-questioning that I do on a regular basis.
That is true.
Do you have any advice if someone would come to you and be like, I want to evolve to that next step?
Right.
To hold that loosely. Is there actions or is it just totally a natural mindset for you?
I think there probably are steps a person can take, obviously. I just don't know what they are. I don't know how I got here. I think there was a degree of coming out like this. Not really, of course, but
yeah.
Like I've always been, not that I've never had insecurities or doubts or fears. I don't know. I don't let them stick on me as long or define me maybe. I just realize that's part of being human. So maybe that helps me. I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. Was there like a season that you feel like you just set that down? Because what I guess right now we're talking about is like what other people think.
Right. Or even my perception of myself. Like I don't really have regrets about anything I've done or didn't do in my career, in my life, because I know that I did the best I could.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's less than other times.
Yeah.
But so I think it's more of a mindset about yourself and your place in the world or how you view the world that contributes to sort of the, what's the term? Self
actualization.
Yes. Thank you. But no
answers. Well, okay, tell me what you think about this, because I can't speak to the assurity or confidence or self-actualization oftentimes.
Right.
Because I'm just constantly full of questions. Ebbs and flows. Sometimes I am way more confident. But one thing I can't speak to is my journey of finding my voice. And I think like artistic voice. Mm-hmm. And I think that ties directly to this, and that's why I was thinking about this thoughts with Joe versus the Volcano, was that belief that if you want to find your voice, if you want to figure out who you are, figure out your taste and what you like and what you want. And yesterday I shared this quote by Elizabeth Gilbert, who she says it can be really hard when they're trying to figure out they want to live a creative life. Mm-hmm. So you start putting all this weight on passion or creativity. And she talks about that as ebbing and flowing. But the real important thing is to ask yourself, what are you curious about?
Yeah.
And I think that curiosity is tied to what you like and dislike and what your tastes are. And by that, I mean this. I wish I would have known when I started playing bass, and I couldn't have. I was so much younger. But I wish I would have known at the beginning of my bass playing what I knew and how I approached my photography at the very beginning. And I think it's why my photography journey has exploded in a far faster way than my music mm-hmm. in life, which seems to have taken a long time for me to find my voice on my instrument. And the reason for that is when I first started playing bass, my job was to figure out what everybody wanted from me. Who do I need to be? What do I need to learn so that I can get opportunities, so I can get good enough and people will like what I'm playing so that people can hire me? Because my job is to figure out what people want and be
model yourself after almost. Jeez.
Hell yes.
It's not really, you know, what do people want me to be? It's more like, I think, and this is false thinking, of course, but I think when you're young or new in something, it's who should I shape myself into? Oh, Bono's the best, blah, blah, blah. I'll just try to be like him.
Yeah.
That kind of mindset, I think.
Well, I think that I think that's going to play into what I'm thinking right now, because I think there can be elements of that that are good.
Yeah, for sure.
To shape yourself into something, but when it is shaping yourself into something for the end result of external appreciation, mm-hmm. Someone else approving of this, that one it became detrimental to me. And so when I started picking up photography and diving into it, I was like, this is for me. This is purely my own, following my own curiosity and obsession. I don't give a single shit what anybody else likes. I'm going to figure out what I like, and because that's the only purpose of this medium. So I started doing things like making a folder on Instagram, and every time I'd stumble across a black and white photo that I loved, I would save that, and I wouldn't try to break it down, wouldn't try to like overanalyze it in the moment. It's just like, this, I love this photo, I put it in the folder, and then I would come back to it and go, okay, where are the similarities? What are the things, the characteristics of these things I love, and how can I make things like this? And I did that over COVID, when I essentially put myself through what I considered a visual arts degree. When I going through, and it was only purely for myself, and going, okay, what do I want? What about the history of this medium am I fascinated about? And following my own curiosity. And so I think because of that, I found my own voice, and that's why opportunities open up for me, because I have a distinct voice, and then people connect with that. Mm-hmm. Rick Rubin talks about people figuring, like, he works with so many artists who they're trying to figure out the voice, and who am I? What am I doing? What do I want to make next? He's like, the entire creative process should be as easy as tasting ice cream. You taste two flavors, you taste a vanilla and you taste a chocolate, and you go, oh, I like this chocolate more. Let's go with that. There shouldn't be all this weight externally put on it.
Yeah. I'm trying to decide if I should add this in the mix or not. I think that there is importance and need for both. Figure out what you like, but also you and I talk a lot about, when it comes to, let's say, whiskey or something, less about do you like it or not and what are you tasting? Mm. So I realize that sounds like a counter idea, which is why I was hesitant to bring it up. But I think that that's also important, particularly when it comes to staying curious. I think sometimes curiosity can be squelched when you're viewing it through the only lens of, do I like it or not?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. I almost think that is, like,
you're talking about, like, the creative process, and that's...
Well, everything to me, all of life is about the creative process to me. It's an obsession about what am I making? What am I experiencing? How am I sharing that? How am I putting it to work? Like, which can really be existentially unhealthy. And you've seen that unhealth and how that can be really negative in day-to-day life a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Just detrimental.
Yeah, not helpful.
So that is the difference between... When you say that, that to me, that's the difference between going, looking internally and externally.
Yeah.
Like when I'm thinking, what do I like about this whiskey? What are the characteristics that I like or dislike? That is a very internal, like, you're making this whiskey about you, essentially, mm-hmm. which I think is fine. And I think it's important to have a damn opinion. But you can't live life that way. You can't live a curious life that way. If every interaction with something you are making it, what does this have to do with me?
Yes.
So I don't know. I think there's something there. The importance of I'm gonna take that out because I see.
Were you gonna wrap it up? Wrap it up? Wrap it up?
I was gonna wrap it up. I was gonna wrap it up, and I was gonna put it in the teaching thing of like, oh, so here's some advice of man, and that's why I'm trying to. I'm gonna leave this in here because I that's just such a genuine daily ebb and flow back and forth for me. I don't want to. I think it's gonna hinder doing these daily Guinness episodes by always making things. I don't know. I wouldn't want to hear that. I just think this is interesting. I think there's something to the need I don't know. I don't know what the balance is. The need between interacting with something and being objective about your taste in it and asking yourself, what about this do I like? What about this do I not connect with? And then also at times just being open to the experience of the isness of something. But to me today, I'm connected with the thought of, I think it's interesting the connection between finding your voice and who you are being defined by what you like. I mean, it's a very, what was it? High Fidelity. You remember that movie, High Fidelity? They're on the record store and it's all about like vinyl and everybody's super. I feel like that's a thing that even, you know, in music we're missing a little bit. Like your identity, your part of who you are is what you liked.
Yeah.
Even like Quentin Tarantino, I think once said like cool to him is an aesthetic. It's like even more important of like what you like determines if he thinks you're cool or not. Tell me what you like.
Yeah.
And that'll be a connection with that. And I just think that's such a weird, not binary, but it's a weird spectrum of existence, like the existing of what do I like and dislike and just experiencing something. What do you let define you? What do you not?
Yeah.
I don't know. Find that interesting.
Something to nibble on a Tuesday afternoon.
Rob Morgan is an internationally touring bassist on a journey to discover what it means to live a curious life. At thecuriouspod.com, you'll find an archive of conversations recorded all over the world, a map of recording locations, a weekly newsletter, and official podcast merchandise. Rob is recording a daily podcast where he's sharing insights into the creative journey and the secrets to living a curious life that he's discovered from over a decade of traveling the world with music. We here at Curious Endeavors have told him this is probably a mistake and he's an idiot to attempt it, but he won't budge, so that's where we're currently at. We hope you'll enjoy.